رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب. We will look at Surah Al-Fil, التفسير. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the favors He bestowed upon the people of Quraysh, the people of Makkah. Surah Al-Fil and Surah Al-Quraysh are two surahs that a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubay bin Ka'b, in his old copy of the Quran, had written both surahs together without Bismillah in between. They would read both Surah Al-Fil and Surah Al-Quraysh as one surah, because the topic of both surahs is the same, which is about the favors on the people of Quraysh. From now until the end of the Quran, the topic of the remaining surahs address Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and are regarding the conditions of the people of Mecca. Surah Al-Fil is from those surahs that talk about an event that occurred in Mecca prior to the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Its name is in the first ayah, Ashab al-Fil. This is a Meccan surah. Its number in terms of revelation is 19, and its number in the Mus'haf is 105. Previously, in Surah Al-Humaza, we learned about those who taunt, slander, and backbite. And we learned that their wealth cannot save them from the punishment of Allah. In this surah, we learn about Abraha, who was strong in terms of wealth, might. He brought an army of elephants to attack the Kaaba. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. We see how, no matter how strong and mighty someone is, their might cannot save them from the punishment of Allah. First, we will look at this event before we look over the ayahs. It is said that about 50 days prior to the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this occurred. It was the same year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. We will briefly look at the history prior to the occurrence of this event, so we can understand this surah better. The people of Hamir were in control of the area of Yemen. They were idolaters. Their last king was Zunawas. He had inflicted extreme persecution upon those who were the Nasara, the Christians of that time. Since he was an idolater, he felt those who accepted Christianity had abandoned their religion. So he had a large trench dug, which he filled with fire. Anyone who attested to Christianity was thrown in the trench. This story is mentioned in Surah Al-Buruj. There were about 20,000 people who were Muslims of that time who were thrown in that fire. There were two people who escaped, and they went to Qaisar, who was a Christian king. They went to him and pleaded for help against their king. Qaisar wrote a letter to the king of Habsha, who was also Christian and was near the area of Yemen. He was told to avenge this persecution. The king of Habsha sent two of his commanders. One was Arbat and the other was Abraha. They went and conquered Yemen. Zunawas lost badly and he escaped, but he drowned at sea. Because of these two commanders, the Christians gained control over the area of Yemen. However, they both started fighting among each other. Abraha won and took control over Yemen. After taking over Yemen, he built a beautiful church and wished that Arabs who would go to Mecca to do tawaf of Baytullah would start coming to the church instead. The church was extremely high, so much so that if anyone was to look down, They couldn't look down without their hat falling off. It was very tall. He had also adorned it with gold, silver, and jewels. Then he announced that from Yemen no one was allowed to go to the Kaaba for Hajj. Rather, they should come there for worship. At that time, even if people were Christians or idolaters, they would all go to the Kaaba for Hajj. Even if the idolaters worshipped idols, they had great reverence for the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam and great reverence for the Kaaba. The Quraysh were infuriated about this church, where they were called to go instead of the Kaaba. So one of the people went to the church at night and relieved himself and then ran away. For it is also said that someone lit a fire for their need and it caused extreme damage to the church. When Abraha learned of this, how the Arabs had done this, he swore that he would destroy the Kaaba stone by stone. Abraha began preparing to attack the Kaaba and sought permission and help from Najashi. So Najashi sent a strong elephant named Mahmud to Abraha so he could mount it and attack the Kaaba. Nauzubillah. In some narrations, it is mentioned it was a huge elephant and there were 8 other elephants along with it. They were all sent by the king of Habsha. In those days, elephants were a symbol of kings and grandeur. Arabs had never seen elephants, as they were not in their region. What was the purpose of bringing the elephants? They brought them to break down the Kaaba. They intended to put one end of the chains on the pillars of Baytullah and the other end on the elephants. The elephants would pull on the other side, which would destroy Baytullah in this process, na'udzubillah. This news spread among the Arabs. They prepared to challenge Abraha and his army. Even though they worshipped the idols, they had great reverence for the Kaaba and were ready to defend it. Zu Nafr, a man from the people of Yemen, who was a noble chief, set out to face Abraha. He called his people and others to go to war with Abraha in defense of the Kaaba. But he was defeated, as this was the will of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his intent to honor and venerate the Kaaba, and to show the outcome of Abraha till the end of time, and make him an exemplary lesson for others. If he was defeated there, how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it known how he guarded his Kaaba? So Abraha captured Zu Nafr and took him along with him. After that, when he approached another tribe, the chief of that tribe, Nufail, and his people confronted Abraha. The army of Abraha overpowered him as well and captured Nufail. After his capture, Abraha thought to kill him, but kept him alive to serve as a guide. The army of Abraha reached Taif. The tribe of Thaqif of area of Taif had heard what happened to the tribes that confronted Abraha and his army. So they said it is in their best interest to make peace with them and did not dare to challenge him. They had a huge idol called Lat and they had built a place of worship there. So they went to Abraha and asked him not to touch their place of worship, and said they would not confront him. And they decided to help Abraha. They agreed to send one of their chiefs, Abu Rigal, to show the way. Abraha became pleased with this. So Abraha and his army headed towards Mecca with Abu Rigal as a guide. When they reached an area called Al-Muhammas, where camels of Quraysh were grazing, Abraha and his army attacked and captured all the camels. Among these herds of camels were 200 camels belonging to the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib. He was the chief of the Quraysh. Abraha sent an emissary named Hanata al-Himyari to go to Mecca and announce to the leaders their intention not to fight with the people of Mecca, but to demolish the Kaaba. Abraha sent a message that if they did not prevent him from this purpose, they would not be harmed. When the man reached Mecca, the people of Mecca told him to go to Abdul Muttalib, who was the biggest chief of Mecca. So he went to Abdul Muttalib and conveyed the message of Abraha to him. In one narration, it is mentioned that Abdul Muttalib said that they too did not have the intent to war with Abraha and admitted to not having the might to challenge him, but conveyed that Kaaba was the house of Allah and built by his Khalil, his friend Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah regarded himself, and he said, if he wants to war with Allah, then he should go ahead and wait to see what Allah decides for him. The emissary asked for Abdul Muttalib to go with him so he could meet with Abraha. When Abdul Muttalib reached Abraha, he found him very impressive. He was tall and handsome. He was so impressed with Abdul Muttalib that Abraha came down from his throne and sat down with him. He told his translators to ask him why he came. Abdul Muttalib said, I have only come to ask your army to return me my camels that they have taken. Abraha said, when I saw you initially, I felt great respect for you, but now your asking for these camels has removed your respect. You only came to ask me about your 200 camels. I am here to destroy your Kaaba, which is your religion. I have come to demolish it, and you are not concerned about that, but worried about your camels. Abdul Muttalib was very intelligent and said, I am the owner of the camels. Therefore, I can only ask for my camels. And the owner of Baytullah is a great one who knows how to protect his house. Abraha said, your God cannot save it from me. Abdul Muttalib said, then you have power to do what you will. In a different narration, it is mentioned that there were other chiefs of Quraysh who went with Abdul Muttalib, who offered for him to leave Kaaba and return, and offered to continue to give crops of Tahama. They would pay as tax of whatever crops were harvested from their dates or any other crops. They would pay one-third from it. But Abraha didn't care. He only wanted to demolish the Kaaba. The Kaaba was where all of the Arabs came for pilgrimage. He wanted all the people to come to his church instead. This way his kingdom would enjoy the prosperity that the Meccans had enjoyed because of the Kaaba and the trade. He knew how the Meccans had reaped the benefits from the Kaaba being there. Abraha returned the camels belonging to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib returned to Mecca and took hold of the metal ring of the Kaaba, along with the other chiefs of Quraysh, calling upon Allah to protect his house. It is mentioned they prayed, O Allah, every owner of a house knows how to guard his property. O Allah, defend your property, your home. After making this supplication, he returned to Mecca and asked the people to leave the city and seek shelter on the mountaintops. They believed the army of Abraha would face vengeance of Allah, and Allah would protect his house. So the people of Mecca left their homes and ran on top of the mountains. We will look at the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Didn't you see how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephant? The Prophet ﷺ was not there. He was not even born yet. Then how could the Prophet ﷺ see it? This is not referring to seeing with eyes, but it means, didn't you hear about it or get information about it? How Allah dealt with the people of the elephant. This was a sign of might of Allah. How Allah dealt with them. أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Didn't we make their plot go astray? They had plotted a big plot to demolish the Kaaba. Allah caused their plotting to be wasted. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ And we sent upon them birds in large flocks. By these small birds, Allah dealt with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent something larger, but even in this was a sign. Even with such small creatures, Allah destroyed a huge army of 60,000. When the people of Mecca came to fight with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Muslims in Medina in the Battle of Ahzab, even when all the army of Mecca and the nearby tribes joined together, they numbered 10,000 to 12,000, much lesser in comparison to the army of 60,000 that came from Yemen. An army with elephants was a big deal, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with the tiniest birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيدٍ They would throw upon them stones of clay. What happened? When the people of Mecca went up the mountains to hide, it is said that Abdul Muttalib left 100 of his camels marked as sacrificial animals around the Baytullah. His intention was that if Abraha came and these sacrificial animals were harmed, they believed that if any harm reached an animal marked for sacrifice, then the punishment of Allah would descend on the attacker. The next morning, the army of Abraha prepared to enter Mecca. They prepared their special elephant Mahmud to march toward Kaaba. Nufail, who was captured earlier, came forward, held the ear of the elephant, and told it to sit down and to return to where it came from. He said to the elephant, You have come to the sacred city of Allah, and then ran off and escaped to the nearest mountains. When Mahmud the elephant heard, it sat down. So many of Abraha's men attempted to make it get up. They beat the elephant to make it get up. They used axes to hit on its head. They used hooked staff to make it stand, and poked arrows in his eyes, but to no avail. Then they said, Let's try to turn him to Yemen and make him get up. It got up and quickly started running. Then when they turned it towards Asham, it started running again. And when they turned it towards the east, again it started running. But when they turned it towards Mecca, it would sit down. They would beat him again. While they were doing this, all of a sudden it became dark. So many birds, as said, طَيْرٌ أَبَابِيلَ, so many flocks of birds, in such large numbers, which came from the Red Sea. The army did not realize that they started to pelt the army with stones, with the size of chickpeas and lentils, which they held in their beaks, and one in each of its claw. The birds threw from such height, it would hit the army as bullets. These pebbles were also infected, so whoever was hit would die. They started running in panic. Everyone kept calling for Nufail, so he would guide them to their way back home. Nufail stayed in hiding and joined the people of Mecca on top of the mountains, who were witnessing this whole event. Nufail recited some verses of poetry. The translation is, Where will they flee when Allah is a pursuer? And recited more verses, saying, Only if you could see, when the people of Elephant were faced with punishment of Allah as the stones were pelted upon them, and when you saw the army of Allah would fall in prostration to Allah. We were standing and praising Allah. The Nasrani were running away, calling for Nufail, as if Nufail was indebted to their forefathers. It was said that these birds were yellow, smaller than a pigeon, and had red feet. It is also mentioned in a different narration that when Mahmud the elephant sat down and refused to get up, they brought another elephant, which turned in the direction and had just stepped forward that a pebble fell on it, and it became like a bubble, and turned back. And others that were coming ran away. The pebbles kept pelting them. Some were destroyed right there and then, and others from the army escaped. But even then, they did not stay alive. As they were running, it was as if their body parts were cut off to pieces and shedding. Abraha also ran to save himself. He was also among those who was broken down limb by limb, until when he reached Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, he was like a pile of flesh, and he died suffering. His heart fell out of his chest. Allah made him reach Yemen as a sign so they too could see, even though he went with an army of 60,000. But how did he return? It is also said that he caught a disease, and sores were all over his body, because of which his body parts started to tear off, limb by limb, eventually causing death. No one remained alive from the army. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the caretaker of al-fil, the elephant, I saw him in Mecca. There were two caretakers of elephants. Both became blind and couldn't go around and would beg in their places in Mecca. Allah destroyed them and their plots. No one remained. If anyone escaped, they too died from their wounds. This is how Allah dealt with them. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَسْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ Allah made them like eaten up hay or straw. If we have ever seen a cow eat up its hay, one can see some of the chewed hay fall down as it chews. The hay that is chewed and falls out of its mouth, how does it look? It's chewed hay. This was their condition. This is how their bodies became, as chewed hay. This is an amazing surah because it teaches us that when Allah wants to help someone, He gives help in the most unusual ways, by unusual means, using His forces to grant help. And He grants help from where no one can even imagine. If we compare the elephant versus the tiny birds, this surah gives comfort. We should look at the power and might of our Lord. If He wills, He can send for a large elephant tiny birds to destroy them. If we have ever seen an elephant and compare it to a bird, it can blow it away easily. Even a person is weak in front of an elephant. And if an elephant throws a person by its trunk, he cannot withstand it, let alone this tiny bird. But when Allah is with someone, and whoever Allah is with, then the person is not weak, but becomes a big might. Even if it is a small, weak group of people, if a small bird can destroy an animal as large as an elephant, then a small group can be heavy on a large one. The only matter is if Allah is with someone. This event occurred more than 1,000 years ago, but in it is a big lesson for us. And there is comfort for those who believe, no matter how much time passes. Either if it is 1400 years or it is the 21st century, the Lord is the same. Whether if it was a matter of yesterday or today, our Allah is one Allah. Yesterday He had bird destroy the elephants, so He can do it every time period. With reading and understanding this surah, we have to realize the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever we feel weak and wonder how can we face the challenges and feel afraid from any power or might, either people, nation, or individuals, if we feel fear, we should think of this surah. We will get comfort that if our Rabb can destroy elephants with birds, then whoever we fear, what might or power do they have? With this, we will find comfort and peace. And then know that we can only ask Allah for help and not fear any person. Knowing that if Allah is with us, then we cannot fear anyone else. If we leave Allah and start fearing people, then we will perceive fear from everywhere. Therefore, we should only fear one Allah, who is the most powerful. And when He is with someone, then there is nothing to fear. We learn of a story where some people were praying and suddenly a lion appeared. Other people ran off on top of a tree, while there was one who stayed where he was praying. The lion came and circled around him a couple of times and then left. Those in the tree came down and became very angry with him. Then how the lion had come and how he could just stay like that. He said, "I felt shy that I am standing in front of Allah, and I felt shy that I should fear His creation and not Him." So whoever places his trust upon Allah, then he doesn't need to fear His creation. This way, fear of creation goes away. If there is fear of creation, that means we did not realize the greatness of Allah. Then we should read this surah to gain proof of Allah's dominance and power. If Allah willed, He could have made Abraha die on the way, but He did not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed this to become an example for all time. We see how Allah guards His house, and whoever Allah protects and gives help to, then no one can reach them harm. It is up to Allah to make means from where He wills to confront His enemies. He can do it by sending birds, or by a scream, or by sending an earthquake, or any other means. Then a person should not worry, for one Allah is the guardian and protector. Then only the enemy needs to be fearful, where he should escape, because all of Allah's creation is His army. The winds are His army. He can cause the winds to blow. Even on the earth are His armies, and in the skies, even water is Allah's army. If man is upon the truth, then he should not be afraid. Only if anyone has drifted from the truth and is doing injustice and knows of it, then he needs to be fearful. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.